So, what's on your mind? That's a really important question. Actually, I begin and end most of the meetings I have with people with that question. So, what's on your mind? What are you thinking about? What are you focused on? And it's such an important question. So, if you were to just take a minute to just take a breath, we're actually going to do that several times during this message, and actually think about what you've been thinking about. And how you've been thinking about what you've been thinking about, and where those thoughts you've been thinking about are coming from, what would be on your mind? I mean, maybe for you, you're thinking about Christmas and the expectations and the pressure, and I don't know if I can do this again, and maybe some anxiety around Christmas. Maybe for you, it's about work and what's going on at work or what's not going on because you're looking for work. Or maybe for you, it's about your kids. You know, or maybe it's about your parents. Maybe, you know, you're one of those people like Whitney and I where we've got some adult kids doing almost adulting things. And then we've got some parents that we're starting to care for and you're caught in that sandwich thing. Maybe for you, it's about friends or lack of friends or just unsure. Maybe for you, you're a student. It's about finals or it's about the future or it's about finances. It's amazing how much mental energy. And by the way, mental energy is just that. It is an energy that is consumable. And so you can get physically tired. You can get mentally tired. And when you get mentally tired, your thought process gets a little off, a little scattered, even a little toxic. Maybe for you, it's about your unique problem. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction. Maybe you've got something that you're going through that you never thought you were going through. Maybe this is the first Christmas after a loss or a relational breakup. But the question is, and the question we're going to be focused on in this Christmas season is what's on your mind? You know, this is all part of the big emphasis we've been having all fall about the inner life. Now, we've been saying that this inner life is that place where we quiet ourselves and we go into that place. I always imagine it as a beautiful cabin by a lake where we just go in and we spend time with the Father. We spend time with Jesus. We spend time with the Holy Spirit. I envision myself sitting at a table with the Word of God, doing spiritual practices that slow me down. And in all this fall, we've been talking about going to that place, and it's a scary place because there might be some dark things and some things got to get corrected or some things we haven't wanted to face or some past pain. And we've been this whole time imagining sitting down at that table. And I just imagine myself very often taking the hand of Jesus and taking the hand of the Holy Spirit and say, I can't face what's here, but you can. And will you just help me have the courage to go to this inner life place? And this fall, we've been putting a ton of emphasis on paying attention to what you feel. You know, following your pain and your anxiety and your fear back to that place where you understand what's behind it. And we've been doing hard work. Well, there's a whole other side of this inner life that we're going to start doing some work on now over the Christmas season. And that's not just how you feel, but it's paying attention to what's on your mind. What are you thinking about? And not just that, and perhaps even more important, how are you thinking about that? Do you have healthy processes for thinking, or are your thoughts out of control? Are they spinning? Do your thoughts drive you and own you? And of course, these are not separate things. Our thoughts and our emotions, what we feel and what we think, are all mixed up together. But looking at how we think, and here's another important thing we're going to talk about, where we get our thoughts. You know, because there's that old saying that we used to talk about a lot when computers were new, garbage in and garbage out. That is to say, what we put in and what we focus on, man, that's going to determine how we think. So over these next couple weeks, we're going to be doing some really important work. We're going to be talking about stories we tell, narratives we create, and we're going to discover that the mind is actually a place of what the Bible describes as warfare, spiritual warfare. And a big part of it is the stories or the narratives we create based on the main weapon of the enemy we have, the devil, the main weapon is a lie. And if he can get us telling stories based on lies and creating narratives, man, he can destroy our entire life. And our weapon on the other side of that, we're going to talk about this, is the truth. And so we're going to be talking about narratives we create. And then we're going to talk about focus. We're going to talk about what we're focused on, because what we focus on is what we're moving towards. And if you're focused on things that are not life-giving, you're going to end up in a bad place. And we're going to talk, too, about learning to control our thoughts. The Bible actually teaches that we can take thoughts captive. We can actually be at a place where we look at what we're thinking and how we're thinking by appropriating truth and slowing down and having other people speak into our life. We can actually gain some control over thoughts that are out of control. And all of this leads to a healthier place within the inner life. And so, the promise of Scripture is that when we learn what the Bible says about the mind, about thoughts, about focus, about thought processes, and it says a huge amount of it. When you start noticing in the Scripture, everybody, Old and New Testament, Jesus, apostles, everybody talked about this thing of the mind. You start recognizing how important it is that we think about how we think. And we pay attention to what's going on in our mind. So in that spirit, I just want you to go ahead and just, everybody just close their eyes for a minute, all right? The rest of you close your eyes, you didn't do it, all right? So everybody close their eyes for just a minute. And we're just gonna take a breath, all right? And without judging it, without trying to change it, without pouring a bunch of shame on ourselves, let's just think for a minute what's been on our mind this last week. What have we been focused on? Holy Spirit, speak. What have we been obsessing about? Holy Spirit, speak. What have we been trying to figure out? Holy Spirit, speak. What stories have we been telling ourselves about a situation or a person or ourself? Holy Spirit, speak. And just hear for a minute some of the promise of God. That when our minds are fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, he says we can have a quiet mind, a right mind, and a mind that is at peace. For just a minute, just consider what it would look like to have a mind that is just a place of peace this Christmas season. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, what I want to do is I want to take a look at just a handful of scriptures in the series to just look at some of the stuff we're going to look at, and then we're going to do a spiritual practice. We're going to have communion where we're going to get our minds focused on this Advent series. And listen, our church this year, we are doubling down on Advent. We're going to be doing this process because what Advent is it is a mental exercise of preparing your heart, how you feel and where your affections are set, and your mind on the preparation for the celebration of the coming of God, that God drew near in the person of Jesus Christ. And so inherently, Advent is a mental exercise of preparing, of focusing, of what we're thinking about. And we're going to call you to some pretty serious spiritual practices this Advent series, that if you were to do them, at first it might be hard and difficult. It's going to require you to choose not only what you're going to do, but what you're going to stop doing to make room for it. And we're going to call you to that in such a way with the anticipation that this could bring a healing to you in the deepest places and free your minds in a wonderful way. So we're going to be calling to you. So let's take a look at just a couple things. A few of the verses, and there are dozens that speak about the mind. Look what the scripture says about this thing of the mind. It says in this is Jesus talking. He said to him, what's the greatest commandment? What should you do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's inner life. That's about, remember, we've been talking about the pilot house, or the place where we our desires and our passions, where we make our choices. So love God with your heart, with all your soul, and with all your, look at this, mind. And so we're going to talk about what does it look like to love God with our mind, to set our thoughts on the pursuit of saying, what am I thinking about? And are the things I'm thinking about the things of God? Because here's one of the things we're going to discover about our thought lives. The Bible says it really clearly. It says, as a person thinks, so they are, so they live. It determines the direction of your life. And so what does it mean to love God, to set our affections on God in such a way that our thought processes set our heart towards loving God? All right, so let's take a look at another verse we're going to look at. This is in Philippians chapter 4:4-7. He says, rejoice. And by the way, rejoice is a choice. It's saying, I'm going to look at what's right. I'm going to choose joy. I'm going to choose positivity. And one of the things that a good mental perspective is, a good mental health perspective is focusing on what's right, focusing on what I can control, letting go of those things that I can't. And because I have God as the backdrop of my entire life, I always have an opportunity to choose joy, to focus on joy. So he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness, the Greek word there is gentleness. It is inherent to that concept. We've been talking a lot about meekness. Remember, meekness is not weak. Meekness is actually a powerful person who keeps their power under control. It's not driving them. And if your thought life is not under control, you will not be a reasonable person. You will not be a gentle person. You'll be a person who is reactive rather than responsive. You'll be a person who will mentally just not be in a great place. And ultimately, you can potentially be an unsafe person. But a reasonable or a gentle person is a person who, through a process of spiritual practices, disciplines their mind to focus on the right kinds of things. And when they do that, reasonableness becomes known to everyone. They're the kind of person who not only is not a liability, but is an asset to other people. Because they're the kind of person who others come from and come to, and they say, can you help me think about this? Can you help me talk through this? The Lord is at hand. And why is this joy? And why has it happened? Because God is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Yeah, great. How do I do that? But in everything, through prayer and supplication. So one of the things we're going to find this Advent season, one of the things we're going to be calling you to, is deep prayer, is real prayer. Because prayer is so central to this thing of having a quiet mind, having a peaceful mind. And so we've created some prayer tools for you, created some hours of prayer, and the Advent resources we created for you is about going to that inner life with the perspective that I'm going to actually spend time with God. And I'm going to just bring my thoughts out, and I'm going to let him examine my thoughts, and I'm going to create a quiet place where God can bring that healing. And so through prayer and supplication is surrendering my thoughts, my will to God. With thanksgiving, again, thanksgiving is a perspective of thought. Again, it's saying I'm going to be grateful for what I have. I'm not going to be focused on what I can't have. I'm going to focus on what I can control, not what I'm going to control. Okay, we're going to unpack all this in the next several weeks. Your request. Make your request known to God. And what is the fruit of that? So what's on your mind? Bring it to God. Look at this. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your heart. This is inner life. Okay. And your mind in Christ Jesus. So if you're struggling with anxiety, if you just find yourself being very reactive, feel like you don't have any control over your thoughts, it begins with this thing of inner life. It begins with this thing of learning how to be with God in prayer. Let's take a look at another verse. He says this. He says, this is the Apostle Paul in Romans. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, in the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and accepted to God as your spiritual act of worship. So he says, offer yourself to God, okay? Look what he says, how this is possible. He says, do not be conformed to this world. Now, one of the big things we're going to be doing in Advent is we're going to ask you to really spend some time evaluating where you are getting your thoughts. Because a lot of us are just filling our minds with thoughts we get from the world. So we're going to actually ask you to evaluate, what kind of content are you streaming? Now, in doing this, we actually created a little tool here. It's a media inventory. And I actually did it for myself. And I just went to our smart TV, okay? I'm looking for my TV smarter than I am. I don't know how to turn half of it on. And I started counting the streaming services we had. And I was thinking, we probably have two, maybe three. Well, we got the Netflix and the Disney and the Prime and the Roku and the YouTube and all. See, I'm calling them the thing, which means I'm a boomer, right? I don't even know. That's what my kids would say. But the point is this. I was kind of taken back by all the streaming. And then I started saying, okay, what shows am I watching? I started looking at the news shows. And again, we've been saying this for over a year. The news people are not giving you news. They are selling stuff to you. They are trying to control you through fear and through anger. And again, if you are focused, if you're filling your mind with things to be fearful of, things to be angry about, if you're toxically full of that thing of outrage, because we are a culture addicted to outrage, okay? And we go to the social media and we just blah and we feed on that. That is doing something to your mind. And so you got to take a look at what news am I getting? And then what am I getting that content? And then, of course, we're going to ask you to take a look at social media. And we're going to ask, you know, what's going on there? I mean, how much time are you spending scrolling? And then we're going to really, really ask you to do some horrible, terrible work. We're going to actually ask you to evaluate the love relationship you have with your phone. Boy, it got, you could feel it. We go, precious, you know, is one of those deals. Do you know, statistics just came out, that the average American, the first thing they grab before their foot, over 50% now, their feet hit the ground, is their phone. And so they wake up and they start to scroll. There are a large percentage of Americans who sleep with their phone in their hand. And the last thing they do before they go to bed is they scroll. I know none of you fine people would ever do that. But I'm just saying, those other horrible, sinful people out there do that. And so, but I'm just saying, if we were honest, and you can be honest because your phone actually tracks it, okay? Because the companies want to know how big of a control they have over you, okay? And if they have control over you in that way, they have control of your mind. And so we're going to ask you this week, not to make a single change other than to do some work of evaluation. Just honestly sit down as an individual, maybe as a family, and say, okay, wow, all right, I had no idea that I was not thinking about what I was thinking, how I was thinking about it, and where I'm getting the stuff I'm thinking about. And then next week, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about narratives. We're going to talk about what it would look like for the rest of Advent to say, you know what, I'm going to take a step of denial. I'm gonna put my phone away at a certain time. I'm gonna get rid of some streaming services. I'm gonna actually look at the movies I'm watching and anything that is inconsistent with the mind of Christ, the language they use, their perspective on sexual morality, their worldview. I'm gonna just wonder what it would be like for Advent to put that away for a while. Not only to make room for some positive things, but to ask some deep questions about, am I being controlled? Am I being controlled? Am I being conformed to the standard of this world? Look at the rest of this verse. Do not be conformed to this world, which our thought and our media is doing, but be transformed. I want to be transformed. I want to be changed by the, look at this, renewal of your mind. And so listen, this is just a biblical principle. This is the core of an ancient biblical idea called repentance, that change happens in the mind. The word, Greek word for repentance does not mean change. It means to change your mind. Because when you change the way you think, you change the way you look at things, you change the stories or the narratives that you're giving, the natural result of that is you change the way you act. But if you're trying to change the way you act, but you're still focused and letting your mind be conformed to the things of this world, where the world is determining who you are and what's important and what you value and what you should be going after, and then you think that somehow or another you're going to be able to feast on all that mentally and then live like Christ, you're fooling yourself. And so this is a call for us to do a deep change, believing that if we could have the mind of Christ, man, everything would change. So you're going to be transformed with the renewal of your mind, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. And so what are we going to ask you to do in the devotions this week? We're going to ask you to test. We're going to ask you to test, again, how much am I streaming? How much am I looking at? What are the inputs in my life? And goodness me, the life of my children that I have just gotten used to in my home because it's so cool. I can just hit that smart TV and it just entertains me and it numbs me and it distracts me. And I just love it so much and my affections are towards it. We're going to start discerning whether or not that's good. We're going to test it. We're going to be able to discern what the will of God is and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So what is good? What is acceptable for a person who claims the name of Christ? And what was perfect? That word perfect there means, it doesn't mean to live without mistakes. The Greek and Hebrew concept of perfect is to live in balance. So a perfect person, listen now, is a person whose inner life is in line with their outer life. It's the opposite of hypocrisy. It's balance. It's harmony. It's not living with a life full of disjunct and dissonance. Instead, it's a person who pays attention with their thinking and they understand, so as I think, so as I live. And so we're going to do this work this Christmas season. A couple of the verses. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? So basically saying, we need to quit telling God how to think about things and telling him how. Instead, we have to have the mind of Christ. And this is a Christian perspective, that we understand that I want to look at things the way Jesus looks at things. I want his thoughts to be my thoughts. One of the, you know, we exist here at Jacob's Well, same purpose statement for 20 years. Wherever we're at on a spiritual journey, we're going to take steps together to know and become like Christ. And we say, people say, well, what do you mean by becoming like Christ? It means I think, feel, and act like Jesus. I feel about things and care about things the way he does. I act and respond the way I think Jesus would. And I think about Jesus the way I think about things. And so that's a person who sees something in culture, and culture is saying, you should think about this like that. And then they take that and they say, well, Jesus, I wonder what you think about this. Oh, man, you say the complete opposite. The world is telling me my significance is what I have. And you say, boy, he who dies with the most toys dies, okay? And there's eternal things and identity in Christ. The world says, you got to give the perfect Christmas to your kids. And if you aren't, you're a terrible failure, and it'll prove that you're not enough. And Jesus says, you know, there's a spiritual calling to be before you do. And there's just any number of stories we tell ourselves, especially around Christmas, that need to be deconstructed, need to be torn apart. The world is telling us stories so that we can actually hear the thoughts of God, the mind of God. When we read the scriptures, particularly parts of the scriptures like the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches us a radically different way of thinking. One of the most common things it says in the teaching of Jesus is Jesus would come along and he'd say this, you've heard it said, but I say. The world says, think about it like this, but I say, think about it like this. This is the perspective of everybody in the world. They'll feed it to you, they'll live by it, but I say something different. We should be thinking radically different than our news feeds, than our political convictions. We should be thinking radically different than what we're seeing valued and celebrated on just about every show we're seeing coming at us streaming. We should be evaluated based on the mind of Christ. But if we're getting a steady diet of that, the mind of Christ will be driven from our thoughts. And so there's a need here for us to recalibrate, for us to come back in a really cool way. So, last one. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. So, is what you're watching true? You see, you understand, the news I watch, they're true. They give the facts. You recognize, right, that you can give true and accurate facts and still bear false witness. You can so manipulate and cherry pick the facts you are giving, or use words to describe them in such a way with the proper adjectives and the proper twist that you factually say things that are true, but totally misrepresent what has happened. I mean, you have to be understanding that, right? So here's the deal. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, am I looking at and celebrating that which is honorable? Whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. That's the kind of thing Jesus would say. And Jesus' value is that that's the kind of way I want you to live. That's the kind of way I want you to act. That if anything is excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, look at this. Think about these things. Focus about these things. And this is about focus. We're going to have a whole message just on focus, because you move towards what you focus on. And so the whole understanding here is that we're going to challenge how we're thinking. I dishonest got one more verse. Oh, this is the second part of the verse. And what you have learned, look at this. What you have learned and received and heard from me, practice, make a spiritual habit, make a spiritual discipline, rearrange your life to get good at this. Practice these things, and we're going to provide tools for you. We are taking away every excuse you could have about not growing in good mental and spiritual health this Christmas season. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I mean, think about where you're headed on Christmas, for Christmas this year. Are you headed for a Christmas full of anxiety and fear and despair and depression and disappointment? Well, what if there was actually a path that you could set aside that worldly thinking, not be conformed to that thinking, and you could actually experience more peace in your heart and mind? That there's actually a supernatural peace that, listen now, protects your heart and your mind. You see how important the mind is to our spiritual well-being? The Bible actually describes the mind as a place of warfare. Spiritual warfare, a place where there is a battle going on, and the enemy who is fighting for our minds has one tool. He really is just a one-trick pony on this. Okay, and it's not like taking people over and spitting pea soup and that kind of things like that. His tool is a lot more insidious. You know what his tool is to really attack our minds? It is a lie. It is a misrepresentative. It is a false witness. It is causing you to believe things that are not true, becoming committed to narratives that are inaccurate, to live by thought patterns and worldly standards. He says, that is how we are being attacked. That is spiritual warfare. And here's the good news. We have been given a tool to fight against that. Again, with Jesus in one hand, Holy Spirit in the other hand, Jesus, the Spirit. And this is the thing that sets us free from the lies. It's the truth. It's hearing from Jesus and hearing from Scripture and hearing from the Word of God and quieting ourselves in prayer. And so when we understand that there is a battle for our hearts and our minds going on, how can we not pay attention to some of the most basic questions that we need to ask? Three big questions we're going to ask. What are you thinking about? I mean, some of us don't think about what we're thinking about. It's like we're being swept away in a tsunami of thoughts, going in and going out, and things are being, we're not paying attention to what we're thinking about. But even more fundamental than that, we're not paying attention to how we think. Am I in a healthy process? Do I have a good narrative going on, or do I have bad narratives? I mean, I can be driving, going to a meeting, I'm stressed about the meeting, I'm stressed about other things, and I can tell my story about the person I'm going to meet with and how bad they are and what I'm going to say to them and how much smarter I am, and I can just blow that up. I can do that in my marriage. I can do it with my parents. I can get paranoid. This is all about how you are thinking. And are you spiritually and mentally mature enough to recognize, okay, I'm in that pattern again where I'm getting paranoid, or where I'm filled with anxiety. I'm in that place again where I'm wanting to blame or to run away or to just justify actions that I shouldn't. And when you recognize I'm in that pattern based on a lie, we're going to talk about how you can take thoughts captive. And be renewed in your mind. It's going to be really cool stuff. And then the third question we got to ask is, where are you getting your thoughts? And this is a big deal, gang, because right now we are conforming to the pattern of this world in our thought life. We are getting what we believe, what we think, what we value, what we desire, what we focused on in a never-ending stream of just toxic stuff. And if we don't take some time to say, you know what, I got to just evaluate that. And we're going to, not this week, we're going to evaluate this week, following saying, you know what, I'm not going to put any more evil things before my eyes. I'm going to make some changes. And some of you say, oh, Paul, you're old fashioned and all those kinds of things like that. And are you going to be legalistic? Listen, we're not going to make a list of rules that all of us follow. We're going to say, meet with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit tell you that's got to go. And that's got to get less. And this thing's out of control. Never watch that again. That is completely inconsistent with the nature and character of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. There's no way that you could imagine yourself sitting on your couch next to Christ watching that, celebrating that, laughing at that. And so there's a great call for us, wow, to get our minds in a big place. So here's the big idea for this Easter Christmas season. We're doing Christmas this December, baby Jesus. We do it every year. All right, so in the inner life, we pay attention to what's on our minds. So again, you're going to that quiet place. We're going to provide tools, Holy Spirit in one hand, Jesus in the other, sitting with the Father. The inner life, we pay attention to what's on our minds, what we are thinking about, and how you are thinking. So those three things, and where you are getting your thoughts. And so we're going to spend some time thinking about thinking. And paying attention to what's going on in our minds, okay? This is super important. Again, some of you may be saying, oh, Paul, I'm so good at this. I'm the rational person. My experience is that the rational people very often are the people who fool themselves the most. Because they, listen, they value thought and rationality, but not the source of good thought and rationality. So they are very rational and calculated about the world's thoughts, but they're not getting their thoughts from a source of the Word of God and from the heart of God and the example of Jesus Christ. Okay, so some next steps. First thing you're going to do, okay, I got one right here. We're going to pick up this Advent devotion. If you're watching online this weekend, you're going to go download that bad boy. We're going to use this. In the first week, every week, we've got our scriptures we're going to read every day. This, by the way, is all synced up with the Dwell app. So you can use the Dwell app if you want to do that. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to do your thought inventory. Okay, there's a little explanation about how to use the tool. There's your scriptures. And then there's five spiritual practices through this we'll talk about. And it's all laid out here. But you're going to grab one of these, and you're going to take some time to do this. Okay? You might start this afternoon. You might start tomorrow morning. But all week, your big assignment is to just slowly, I'm going to do it in one sitting. I'm going to honestly go through this thought inventory. I'm going to pay attention to what I'm thinking and where I'm getting my thoughts. So we're going to grab the Advent devotion. Who's going to get an Advent devotion? It's like four of you. All right, so the rest of you, all right, you're going to grab an Advent devotion, okay? You can get on Jacob's Well app and get on that website. There's like 5,000 ways to get it, like 3,000 maybe. There's a lot of ways to get it, all right? Next thing, so we're going to do a thought inventory this week. Talked about that. The other thing I want to let you know is a lot of people have asked, we're going to return to the hours of prayer. This is on our message page. You can actually do it through a podcast if you're using our podcast. We're basically, we have morning prayer, afternoon, a midday prayer, and evening prayers. And it's basically just us doing a litany of prayers. It's praying scripture. It's praying some Christian traditional prayers like the Our Father, affirming the great creeds of our faith. And just for me, this has been a spiritual practice for my life for about 8 years, beginning my day in a process of centering prayer and hours of prayer and then stopping in the middle of the day. And it's amazing how often it just recalibrates my day and focuses my mind. It reminds me of in Christ. And then in the evening, ending my day with an awareness, a confession of sin, all those beautiful things. This tool is available as well on our podcast and on our Facebook as well. And just for us to do this for the weeks of Advent, you as a family may just want to do evening prayers together and just sit and just press play and then just listen and engage. And you'll find that it's one of the places where you really find out where your mind's at, because it's hard to focus at first. But it's worth the engagement and the price you pay for that. It's just a beautiful thing. I want to encourage you to listen to the podcast. We're going to be doing that a lot in terms of these spiritual practices. We're going to be talking deeply about how the mind works and how spiritual mental health is central to spiritual formation. And just a beautiful thing. Last thing I want to let you know about is this. Is that we as a church are having our Christmas offering Hope Fund. We're emphasizing three things: IMB, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Hope Village. And this week we're emphasizing IMB, which is our International Mission Board. So our entire offering Christmas Eve, which is a big offering, we give to things outside of our church, and it's about making impacts in the region, the local community, and then internationally. And this week I want to tell you about the IMB. So IMB is International Mission Board, represents like 3,000 or 4,000 missionaries. We have relationships with many of these missionaries. Actually, for the last month or two, a missionary couple has been here, and we don't tell you about it because they work in a part of the world where they really need to be anonymous. And we call them Chad and Sarah. That's not their name. They're actually going to be in the Resource Center after church today. So if you want to just get to know them, they are part of our church. Even in the Middle East where they serve, they participate in our worship services. They are of us. They are precious to us. So you want to go meet them. They have an incredible little ministry. So what you have here is Christmas gifts. These are made by a group of women called Hands of Hope. These are refugees in the city that they work with who make these, and they support each other in the most wonderful way. So these are people who've been torn away from their families, and they're living in a refugee camp, and these women have come together. They're women from 16 to like 65, and they make these, and they support each other, and they have one of the more beautiful, as it's described to me, expressions of Christianity. Well, we have bought a bunch of this stuff, and what I'd encourage you to do is go to the bookstore, buy this stuff, give them as Christmas presents, and use them. And then here's the really cool thing. Not only do you get some beautiful, wonderful, incredible, high-quality stuff, But you also get an opportunity that every time you see this, you pray. Every time you see this, you pray for Chad and Sarah and their family, for those serving all over the world. But this Christmas, I mean, there's beautiful blankets and pillows and just incredible stuff. I want to encourage you to go check that out in the Resource Center. It's a great way to support specifically these brothers and sisters, these sisters specifically, who have nothing but this community where they are supporting themselves in the most wonderful way. Super smart, super good. All right, so let's take a minute to just end our service by centering ourselves. So if you have your communion elements, go ahead and grab those. So we wanted to start Advent with communion this year, okay? Because communion is all about thought, okay? It's about Jesus' admonition. He says, do this in remembrance about me, remembrance of me. And so in the midst of all that's going on in the world, how important is it to remember Jesus? Remember that Jesus stepped into the world as a baby. He became what's called incarnate to draw near to us. He came because he deeply desires a love relationship with you. He desires to be the center of your life. And then he not only was born, but he lived this incredible life. And if you want to know how you should live, how you should feel about things, how you should act, and how you should think about things, you read about the life of Jesus. You read about what he taught. And you look about how he treated people and what was important to him, what his priorities were. You read something like the Sermon on the Mount and say, oh, that's how you're supposed to respond to conflict. That's way different. You know, you read about his death on the cross and about the one who was never weak. Jesus was never weak. He was all powerful, and yet he became meek to serve us. He brought his power under control to serve the common good. So that's how we should think about it, about using our resources, our time. It's a radical challenge to think like Jesus. And then the night before he died, he said, I'm going to give you something to remind you to regularly and routinely recalibrate your life and recenter your thoughts on remembering me. It's the incredible, beautiful picture of the resurrection, that because he was raised from the dead, I have hope that I will rise from the dead, so that anything that happens to me in this life, in light of eternity, it diminishes more and more year after year as I live in the transformational power of God forever and ever. All of this is just recentering in our thoughts. So if you'd like communion elements, you don't have it, the ushers in the aisle, just raise your hand and they'll bring you one. But in that spirit, let's again just quiet ourselves. Let's close our eyes. Let's take a deep breath. I really need a breath. I've been talking fast. And maybe you need a breath because you've been going fast. Maybe your mind's just been spinning and twisting. Maybe you're obsessed about something or some person. Maybe there's a problem that you are trying to control. Maybe you are just dreading what's coming up for this holiday season. Maybe you're trying to live up to some performance model to prove that you're enough. Holy Spirit, would you just meet each one of us as though we're the only one here and speak to each one of our minds? And as the Spirit speaks to you, just become aware of just what's going on with you. Don't judge it. Just acknowledge it. If you've been riddled with anxiety, just imagine it floating up to God, just acknowledging it and offering it to God. If you've been full of fear, just let it go to God. If you've created a narrative and you've been telling your story about some situation or something or yourself, don't try to fix it. Just let it go up to God. We're just acknowledging it. We're letting it go to God. Imagine it coming out from inside you, off your shoulders, and it's just separating from you because it's not who you are. Just imagine whatever it is you're carrying in this time. Just let it go to God. And just for a moment, receive the love of God. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, he has proven that he loves you with an everlasting love. He could not love you more. Receive that love. Focus your mind on that love. Let your heart receive it. Any lie of the enemy that says you're not worthy or you're the exception, just deny that thought. That is a lie. And rely on the promise of God, that I love you with an everlasting love. I call you beloved. You are the delight of my eyes. I'm like a father who gathers you up in my arms, and I rejoice over you with singing, that nothing can separate you from my love. Not death, not life, nor angels or demons. Know that you are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. See the Father who does not look at you with disappointment or anger or frustration, the Father who will never give up on you, but see a Father who delights to be with you and has a plan to complete the work he's begun in you. This is truth. Allow your mind to receive this. Now imagine that night, the night before Jesus died. He's gathered with his beloved, his disciples, and imagine you are there with them, and he says to everyone, I have deeply desired to be with you and spend this time with you. And he looks you in the eye, and he says, I have deeply desired to be with you, and I love you. And on the night before Jesus died, he took the bread. So let's open our bread. If you're watching with us online, you're prepared to have communion, that would be great. If not, just spiritually take communion with us. It's not important, the physical element. It's more important, the spiritual conduct of your heart. Understand here at Jacob's Well, we don't believe anything mystical or magical happens to the bread or the cup. We believe the really important thing happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died on the cross. And when we put our faith and trust in what he did, it puts us in the place of being forgiven, be made new. It calls us now children of God. The old is gone, the new has come. It engages us with the person of the Holy Spirit who's given as a gift from the Father, not something you earn or live up to, but the person of the Holy Spirit. So you now in Christ have a relation with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you're here this weekend, you're watching online, and you put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross, then we're brothers and sisters, and we welcome you to come and have communion with us. Even if you don't regularly attend here, we invite you to come. So on the night before Jesus died, he took a simple piece of bread, and he said, this is my body, which will be broken for you. He broke the bread, and he gave it to them, and he said, take and eat, and do this in remembrance of me. And then after, Jesus took the cup, and he said, this is the cup of relationship, a cup of a new and everlasting covenant relationship between God and his people, an unbreakable covenant where he becomes our Father and we become his children. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ becomes our Savior, our Lord, and our brother. It's a call to a love relationship, this cup of relationship. Jesus said, took the cup, and he said, this is the blood of the new and the everlasting covenant, because my blood will be poured out, my life will be poured out, so that you can have eternal life in Christ. And so he gave them this cup, and he said, this is the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. Take and drink, and do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we need to remember you. We need to think on you. We need to add spiritual practices to our life that renew our mind, that we might experience the fruit of a mind at rest, a mind at peace, a mind that has clarity, that we would, as the scriptures say, be in our right minds. Father God, we confess that we have gotten used to some things we should not have gotten used to. We have let some things in our life that we should not have. So I would pray, Father, that each one of us would just accept the challenge to think about how we're thinking and what we're thinking about and where those thoughts are coming from. And from that, Holy Spirit, I would pray that we would not make a legalistic list of rules, but instead each one of us would hear your call to set aside this, to no longer do this, to add this to your life, that our minds might be focused on you. We love you and we need you. Make this Advent season more healing than ever before, more peace-filled than ever before, more joyful than ever before. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. We'll see you next week.